Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 20th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
U.S. and Chinese officials lay the groundwork for high-level negotiations next month.
China announces a modest rate cut as analysts call for more.
The Bank of Japan makes cuts to its bond-buying program.
And Brexit talks offer hope of a deal before next month's deadline.
A whistleblower complaint about President Trump is said to involve Ukraine. Plus, Facebook's CEO meets with President Trump and lawmakers. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees beat the Angels. They clinched their first division title in 7 years. NFL Jacksonville beat Tennessee.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are slightly higher to close out the trading week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 2.5 points. Dow futures up 23. NASDAQ futures up 12. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.3%. CAC in Paris down 0.1%. So is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained almost 0.2%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 4.32%, yield 1.76%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.74%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 37 cents at $58.50 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $6.30 to $15.1250 an ounce. The euro, 1.1049 against the dollar. The yen at 107.93. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with trade talks between the U.S. and China. They are back on the front burner. Deputies from both sides are meeting in Washington for a second day. We get the very latest now from Bloomberg's Sarah McGrath.
The two sides are trying to talk. I think neither one wants an escalation. U.S. companies are really talking about how much pain this has caused them. You know, they're obviously having to pay these import tariffs as the goods come in. So I think at this moment in time, we're led to believe that at least they're trying to make some progress and they're not necessarily talking about an escalation.
Well, neither side may want an escalation. U.S. advisor Michael Pillsbury tells the South China Morning Post that President Trump could increase pressure on China by raising tariffs to 50 or 100%. If there's no deal soon.
Meantime, China's central bank is cutting borrowing costs by 5 basis points. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The PBOC cut the 1-year reference rate for bank loans to 4.2% from 4.25%, hardly earth-shattering, and analysts immediately called for a stronger move. The PBOC has tweaked policies to address the slowdown, but it has refrained from more aggressive stimulus out of concern for financial stability and high debt. As one economist put it, right or wrong, that's the way it is. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thanks. The Bank of Japan is also making moves. The central bank announced sweeping cuts to its bond buying program, reducing purchases by more than $460 million. We get more on that from Bloomberg FX and rate strategist David Finnerty.
It was the first time they cut bond purchases across three tenors, basically from 5 to 10, 10 to 25, and 25 plus. They all got trimmed. It really comes down to that steepening of the yield curve. And Governor Kuroda, he wants that yield curve to steepen. It had really flattened quite a lot over the last week or 2 weeks and steepened a bit since. And today, they've really come out and said, okay, we really want that to steepen because of the negative impacts of a flat yield curve.
Analysts say the move should give the BOJ some breathing room as the yield curve did steepen in response to the action.
For stocks in Asia, it was a mostly muted session today, except in India, where we saw equities post their biggest one-day gain in more than a decade, thanks to planned government tax cuts. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Indian stocks surged along with the rupee, while bonds slumped after the country's finance minister said tax on domestic companies will be slashed to 22% from 30%. The offshore yuan rose, pairing weekly declines, while the CSI 300 closed higher by a third of 1% to 3,935 points. Japan's TOPIX index closed flat, notching up a fifth weekly gain. Markets in Australia, South Korea and Taiwan all contributed to Friday's gain on the MSCI Asia Pacific index. However, over the course of the week, Asian stocks were down around a third of 1%. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Juliet. In Europe today, Brexit talks are offering hope that there could be a deal before next month's deadline. Let's get the very latest now from Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Caroline Hepker live in London. Good morning, Caroline.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Yes, Jean-Claude Juncker appears optimistic about a Brexit deal that can be done by the 31st of October. The European Commission president tells Sky News that if all the objectives are met, then they won't need the so-called Irish backstop provision. He's open to avoiding a hard Irish border by shifting customs and regulatory checks elsewhere. But Ireland's foreign minister is pouring cold water on the idea, saying that the substance of the talks on the backstop remains stuck. Live in London, I'm Caroline Hepke, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Caroline, thank you. Between Brexit, the trade war, and a global economic slowdown, investors would do well to avoid risk right now. That's according to Oaktree Capital co-founder Howard Marks.
We have high levels of uncertainty, low prospective returns relative to history in most asset classes. So today, I would emphasize avoiding losing money over avoiding missing opportunities. But, you know, I'm a bond guy. And that's just me.
Marks has also criticized the Federal Reserve for cutting rates, saying it will boost asset prices further, making the rich richer without benefiting savers.
And the Fed's also garnering criticism from Bill Lee. The Milken Institute chief economist says dissent among FOMC members points to weak leadership from Chairman Jerome Powell.
It's gotten to the point where dissent that used to be internal to the Fed has now become a public dissent. We have three dissenters voting against Chair Powell, and that's one of the hardest things for our chairman to do is to rein back the public dissent. And this shows that Chair Powell is probably one of the weakest chairs that the FOMC has ever had because all the previous chairs have been able to generate that kind of consensus that he has not been able to.
And policymakers are also under pressure to fix the stress in U.S. funding markets by boosting Treasury holdings. The New York Fed plans to do another $75 billion repo operation today. Swap spreads stumbled to record lows yesterday as calls grow louder for more aggressive steps.
And on the corporate front, shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are up more than 2% in London. The bank promoted Alison Rose to chief executive officer, making her the first woman to run one of Britain's big four lenders. Futures this morning again higher. S&P futures up about 3 points now. Dow futures up 27. NASDAQ futures up 14. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks a lot. 5:07 on Wall Street now. Let's bring in Michael Barr. Find out more of what's going on around the world. Happy Friday, Michael.
Happy Friday to you, Nathan. A whistleblower complaint about President Trump made by an intelligence official centers on Ukraine, according to two people familiar with the matter. According to the Washington Post report, it has set off a struggle between Congress and the executive branch. Two former U.S. officials say the complaint involved communications with a foreign leader and a promise that Trump made, which was so alarming that an intelligence official went to the Inspector General of the Intelligence Community. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff says the DOJ has gone against protocol and blocked that information by being reported to Congress.
If in a matter within the jurisdiction of the Director of National Intelligence, you have an employee of that community or a contractor or a detailee who follows the law and makes a complaint, and it is possible for the subject of that complaint to essentially quash the complaint or keep it from Congress, then this system is badly broken.
Meanwhile, Ukraine's president is facing calls from Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani to investigate business ventures in Ukraine involving Joe Biden's son. President Trump is hosting a ceremonial visit in honor of Australian Prime Minister Scott Morrison today, including the second state dinner at the White House under President Trump. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
The day of meetings and the formal Rose Garden dinner give Morrison the opportunity to remind Trump that new challenges to regional security are emerging 7 decades after their nation's alliance was cemented in World War II. It comes at a critical time as both nations seek to deal with China's growing influence in the South Pacific. While China's economic might is the main catalyst to Trump's trade war, diplomats in Washington and Canberra are increasingly concerned about Beijing's geopolitical ambitions and say both nations must now make hard choices to place real resources behind new initiatives in the region. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg met with President Trump about the practices of the social media platform. President Trump tweeted that it was a nice meeting. However, it was a testy meeting between two lawmakers on Capitol Hill. involving Zuckerberg and Republican Senator Josh Hawley over his company's record on privacy and safeguarding user data. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael. Thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Yankees could have clinched the division Wednesday night, failed to do so. So the champagne was ready to go again last night, and this time they made sure. Easy win over the Angels, 9-1, win number 100 on the season, and the Yanks are off to the postseason for the 55th time. That's 22 more times than any other franchise. Half of the previous trips have ended with winning the World Series. Last time the Yanks did that was 09. There are two players left from that team. One is CC Sabathia. He knows the Yanks haven't gone to October as a division winner since 2012.
Yeah, this is fun, especially winning the division. This, like I said, I mean, this was a big goal of ours. We were tired of playing in that wild card game. So, this feels good to get this division.
They'll sit out that one-game wild card playoff. They'll play either the wild card winner or Minnesota. Depends if the Yanks finish better record than Houston. They are currently half game behind the Astros. Longest tenured Yank is Brett Gardner. Had a big game last night, a homer, a two-run double. He knows the Yanks this year overcame a ton of injuries.
Well, I mean, we just really try and take things as slow as possible, take things day by day. And, everybody's done a great job of stepping up when they're needed and doing their job. And it's been a lot of fun to be a part of.
Domingo Germán won 18 games for the Yanks, but he was not part of the celebration, may not be on the playoff roster. Germán said to have been involved in a domestic violence incident. MLB is investigating. For now, he's on paid administrative leave. NFL last night, Jacksonville's first win. 9 sacks, a 20-7 win over Tennessee. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. Tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show when we speak with Damaris Smith, Executive Director of the NFL Players Association. You can catch that conversation tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio. Or subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures higher by 3.5 points. Dow futures up 32. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 16 points. 10-year Treasury yield 1.77%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are struggling for momentum as a busy week of central bank meetings draw to a close, with a focus now likely to shift back to the trade war. The pound is strengthening. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 3 points right now. Dow futures up 31. NASDAQ futures up 15. The DAX in Germany, it's down about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield 1.77%. Yield on the two-year 1.74%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 33 cents at $58.46 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $6.50 at $15.1270 an ounce. The euro 1.1048 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2542 and the yen is at 107.93. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. The Trump administration is in a battle with Congress over access to a whistleblower's reported complaint about incidents, including a private conversation between President Trump and a foreign leader. According to the Washington Post, the government's intelligence watchdog says the blocked complaint is serious and urgent. President Trump says he had a nice meeting with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. However, Republican Senator John Hawley had a testy clash with Zuckerberg over Facebook's record on privacy and safeguarding users' data. In baseball, the Yankees are the AL East champs following a 9-1 pounding of the Angels. It was New York's 100th win. The Red Sox beat the Giants 5-4. The Orioles lost. Thursday night NFL action, the Jaguars down the Titans 20-7. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined now by Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Good Friday morning, Christina. I'm curious to get your take on all the central bank moves we saw this week. Is there a narrative to glean from all the action we've seen around the world?
Absolutely. And that narrative is that central banks are feeling the burden to stimulate. It's really interesting because this has been thus far in the last decade, really, this is the century of central bank intervention and an over-reliance on monetary policy. Even though monetary policy is quite flawed, it's a blunt instrument. It's not a surgical tool.
They're feeling the urge to stimulate, yet we're seeing division within the Federal Reserve on whether to do that. What makes you say that they're feeling the pressure to stimulate?
Because there is just a lack of fiscal stimulus, at least coming from developed countries. It's an interesting narrative when we look at fiscal stimulus, because you have a lack of fiscal stimulus coming from the Eurozone, from Japan, where they're actually poised to raise taxes, and from the U.S. At the same time, though, we've got countries like India cutting taxes quite significantly and being very stimulative fiscally. So in the absence of fiscal stimulus, many central banks feel compelled to step in. Certainly, that was the story around the global financial crisis.
So are you thinking then that the Federal Reserve is going to cut more deeply than perhaps the markets are expecting?
Well, I'm not sure, because it is very controversial, as you alluded to in talking about that split. Not all central bankers are on board with it because there's a recognition that it creates market distortions as opposed to directly impacting the economy. So I really believe it remains to be seen. I believe Vice Chair Clarida when he says that the Fed is going to take it one meeting at a time. But I do think there's a good chance the Fed could cut rates again this year.
What are you thinking the Fed is going to be looking at specifically when it makes those decisions?
Well, it's clear that it's very much economic data dependent, but the Fed sees itself as the world central banker, so it's not necessarily going to be just U.S. economic data. And they'll also possibly react to trade news flow. It's not beyond what they view as their purview. They recognize that they don't have the tools to specifically countervail the negative forces of trade friction, but they do appear willing to provide some kind of an insurance cut in the face of potential problems created by trade wars.
What's your sense of where things stand in regard to the trade war now that negotiations have at least jump-started a little bit here and there's been some delay on raising tariffs further?
Well, my attitude is to hope for the best but plan for the worst. It seems that the most likely scenario right now is that talks continue, that we continue to get both positive and negative news flow, but that as we get closer to the 2020 U.S. presidential election, the U.S. is more likely to take minor concessions from China and call it a deal.
Now, when you say plan for the worst, how do you advise investors to do that?
Well, to recognize that there's going to be significant volatility, including downward volatility, created by any kind of deterioration in trade relationships. But to recognize that we also have increased central bank accommodation, which suggests that the environment will be supportive for risk assets.
About a minute left here. Are there ways for investors to take advantage of that volatility?
Well, certainly exposure to active management helps protect on the downside. We've seen that in historical data. But beyond that, it's about having broad diversification, having exposure to alternative asset classes, which tend not to be closely correlated with equities or traditional fixed income, and so they can smooth out that volatility. And, of course, investors can certainly be tactical and try to take advantage of all the different geopolitical moves going on. I believe, for example, Chinese stocks have been beaten down, especially areas like Chinese tech, and that could be a potential area of opportunity if one has a long enough time horizon to hang on until this gets resolved.
Christina Hooper, thank you. As always, Christina Hooper is Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Futures slightly higher ahead of the open. S&P futures are up almost 3 points now. Dow futures higher by 27, and NASDAQ futures gaining almost 14 points. The 10-year Treasury yield at 1.77%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Eisner Amper. Taxes are one of the certainties of life, but what worked for corporate taxpayers in the past may not work today. Eisner Amper can help. Visit EisnerAmper.com/tax certainty.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning as we close out a trading week highlighted by several central bank decisions. It's quadruple witching day when the quarterly expiration of futures and options on indexes and stocks occur on the same day.
Now, the New York Fed plans to do another $75 billion overnight repo operation today. It'll be the fourth cash injection in a row. Market participants say the Fed needs to come up with a long-term solution.
Trade deputies from the U.S. and China are set for a second day of talks in Washington. The Trump administration says a Chinese delegation will also visit American farmlands next week.
Well, meanwhile, China's central bank is cutting borrowing costs, lowering its reference rate for bank loans by 5 basis points. We get more from Bloomberg's Zenda Curran in Hong Kong.
It was a signal from authorities that they are willing to do more to support the economy, but it was a pretty modest step, 5 basis points. That perhaps suggests they're trying to keep an eye on the overall credit and debt story in China that we all know so much about. They're trying to keep things stable.
The somewhat modest move has analysts calling for stronger easing from Beijing as data show economic growth continues to slow.
In Europe today, Brexit talks are offering hope there could be a deal before the October 31st deadline. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek in London.
Jean-Claude Juncker told Sky News that he was doing everything to prevent a no-deal Brexit, which he says will be catastrophic. He's confirmed he's been sent documents by Boris Johnson outlining draft ideas for new terms. The pair had face-to-face discussions earlier this week for the first time since the Prime Minister came into office. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Sebastian, thanks. Shares of Royal Bank of Scotland are up 2.5%. The bank promoted Alison Rose to chief executive officer, making her the first woman to run one of Britain's big four lenders.
And oil is rising once again, capping one of the most dramatic weeks ever for crude, where 5% of the world's supplies were cut by attacks on Saudi production facilities. Prices are up about 8% this week. Checking oil now, NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 33 cents at $58.46 a barrel. Brent is up 0.7%. It's at $64.85. And futures are higher as well. S&P futures up 3 points. Dow futures up 33. NASDAQ futures up about 16. And the 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.77%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The latest standoff between Congress and the executive branch has evolved over an alleged phone call in which President Trump made a promise to a foreign leader. According to the Washington Post, the complaint from an intelligence official centers on Ukraine, but it's unclear how. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The government's intelligence watchdog did testify in closed session of the House Intelligence Committee about a whistleblower's complaint. Committee Chair Adam Schiff says the White House is blocking any effort to investigate.
And if the assertion is accurate that the Department of Justice has made and the DNI has affirmed that this involves a potentially privileged communication, then at one level or another, it likely involves either the president or people around him.
And he says he hopes a whistleblower will be brought in next week. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Meanwhile, Ukraine's president is facing calls from Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani to investigate business ventures in Ukraine involving Joe Biden's son. New documents show the FBI has used secret subpoenas to obtain personal data from companies more than previously revealed. The request reported in the New York Times have raised privacy concerns, including getting information from places such as banks, credit agencies, and cell phone carriers. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg met with President Trump as he tried to sway Congress and policymakers who have been critical of the practices of the social media platform. According to a Facebook spokesman, Zuckerberg had a constructive meeting with the president. However, Zuckerberg's meetings on Capitol Hill grew testy as he clashed with lawmakers over his company's record on privacy and safeguarding user data. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced a move to tackle high drug pricing. Pelosi says the plan would allow Medicare to negotiate prices for seniors and younger people.
We don't want a political issue at the polls. We want a solution in the Congress, and we want it now.
On the Gulf Coast, what's left of Tropical Storm Imelda produced heavy rain for more than 24 hours. It is blamed for at least one death outside of Houston in Harris County. Houston's Mayor Sylvester Turner.
These storms are coming with greater intensity and greater frequency, and we have to find ways to address them and minimize the risk.
Although waters are receding, roads are still impassable. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, in a season where a record 30 players have been on the injured list, the Yankees still achieved something not done since 2012.
And the 1-2 struck him out swinging. Ball game over. American League East over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
Heard that from John Sterling, WFAN, 100 times this season. Last night's win, 9-1 over the Angels. Four home runs were hit, including the 25th of the year from DJ LeMay, who might be the Yankee MVP. 26th from the longest tenured Yank, Brett Gardner. Check a goal off the list, says manager Aaron Boone.
One of the things we talked about in spring training was winning the division, and that's a reality now. And, you think of a lot of people that contributed to this. You know, obviously we have bigger goals, and but this is an important step, and I'm just proud of the guys and the so many people, some that aren't even in that room right now, that have contributed to us being here.
Well, one of those big contributors was Domingo Germán, team leading 18 wins, but Germán was not part of the celebration, may not be part of the postseason. MLB investigating a claim of domestic violence against Germán. For now, he's on administrative leave. The remaining games still have meaning. Yanks a half game behind the Astros. That'll determine their first-round opponent, either the Twins or whoever emerges out of the wild card. The season ended now. The Cubs would miss the playoffs. They lost in 10 innings to the Cardinals. They fell a half game behind Milwaukee. Mets have faint playoff hopes. They play tonight in Cincinnati. NFL, Jacksonville beat Tennessee 20-7. With Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashel. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with a cover on GM's big bet on electric and self-driving cars. David Welch wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
What GM's really doing here, what Mary Barra's strategy really is getting out of low-margin or money-losing businesses. And with the money she saves, she's putting it into electric cars, autonomous vehicles, because she sees that as the real future of the company.
And you can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why? Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:30. 8:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Hi, Nathan. Apple has been renovating its store on Fifth Avenue for about 3 years now. It opens to the public today. New features include 20-foot trees and skylights, but the most popular change may be two new entrances placed on the north and south side of the store. Connecticut is raising taxes on all digital goods and certain electronically delivered software. Fees for services like Netflix, Hulu, iTunes, and even e-books have been taxed at a 1% rate, but beginning October 1st, that goes up to 6.35%. Residents of Newark have been complaining about the stench of carcasses emanating from Darling Ingredients rendering plant. Some have reportedly become ill and keep their windows closed, according to a lawsuit now filed by state regulators. It claims the Irving, Texas-based company improperly operated emissions equipment, and that released putrid gas into the air. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, aspirin by drone moves closer as Google's Alphabet and Walgreens team up with FedEx on a delivery test.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on WJFK Washington and WTIC Hartford, I'm reporting on supermarket operator Aldeles looking to cut harmful chemicals from packaging.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on Royal Bank of Scotland promoting Alison Rose to chief executive, an insider and the first woman to run one of Britain's big four lenders.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Cheese prices are finally seeing a recovery, rebounding from last year's lows.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Some other stories we're watching: Google spending $3.3 billion over the next 2 years to expand its European server farms. The company will have spent over $16 billion on European data centers since 2007. And JCPenney preparing for talks with creditors to ease its debt burden, giving the struggling retailer's new CEO more breathing room. Bondholders have been pushing the company to consider a swap or extension of some of its $4 billion of debt. This is Bloomberg. And the Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flatbeds for napping, and afternoon tea. Daily nonstop flights to the UK in partnership with Delta Airlines.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures have been adding to their gains, with S&P futures now up 5 points, Dow futures up 47, and NASDAQ futures up 19. The DAX in Germany is down about a tenth of a percent. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.77%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.74%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 33 cents at $58.46 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.4% or $5.70 at $15.11.90 an ounce. The euro 1.1053 against the dollar, the British pound 1.2542, and the yen is at 107.97. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump will hear a broad range of military options from the Pentagon today as he considers how to respond to the Iranian attack on Saudi Arabia's oil industry. U.S. officials say the president will be presented with a list of potential airstrike targets inside Iran and also will be warned that military action could escalate into war. President Trump reportedly spoke with Ukraine's president in a conversation that became the focus of a whistleblower's complaint concerning the contents of the conversation. Democrats are threatening to go to court over allegations the Trump administration refused to alert Congress about the complaint about the president. In baseball, the Yankees are the AL East champs following a 9-1 pounding of the Angels. Red Sox beat the Giants. Orioles lost. Jaguars winners Thursday night in NFL. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. It has been a relatively quiet week for U.S. equities, with the S&P 500 virtually unchanged, despite a decision from the Federal Reserve, increased tensions in the Middle East, wild swings in oil prices, and stress in U.S. funding markets. So what do we make of all this going forward? Let's get some answers now from Jonathan Golub, Chief Equity Strategist at Credit Suisse. Good morning, Jonathan. Is this a time to take on risk with all these headwinds, do you think?
You know, we've been saying for the last couple of months that it's probably not. The U.S. economy is slowing down a bit, and what you've had in the last couple of weeks, really in the whole month of September, is some optimism, and I'd say optimism as opposed to better actual data, but some optimism that the Fed would be more aggressive, that we'd see central banks around the world and governments around the world provide stimulus. But at the end of the day, the real story here is not those news headlines. It's really the fact that the economic data continues to come in weaker.
So does that call then for more accommodation from the Federal Reserve?
It clearly does. And right now, the market is expecting that the Fed is going to move three more times. And in fact, it's probably not that the Fed needs to bail the economy out, because the economy is okay. But the yield curve is inverted at the short end, which means it costs more to borrow for one day than it would be to borrow for, let's say, 2 or 3 years. And that's a very unusual situation that's not really healthy for the economy. And the market is expecting the Fed to fix that and uninvert the short end of the curve.
So then do you see the market pushing the Fed toward that accommodation, or is it, as it says, going to be dependent on the data?
No, I mean, if you're looking just at the data, the Fed is supposed to care about two things, inflation and growth. And the economy, while it's decelerating, is growing close to 2%. Not brilliant, but okay. And inflation is about 2%. It's kind of in the sweet spot. So the data is saying the Fed doesn't need to take action. What the market is saying is that an inverted yield curve has the potential to push us into recession, because it constricts borrowing. It's a signal in the past that a recession may be around the corner. And the market is basically, yes, bullying the Fed or pushing the Fed to do more, which is why the market expects three more easings between now and the end of 2020. But you know, I don't think we're going to end up in a recession, but I do think we're going to end up in a period of more sluggish growth, which will be a little bit more difficult for equity. So we're not calling for a big correction. We're not telling people to bail on the market. But for those that are thinking that there's big upside in the next, you know, between now and the end of the year, they might be disappointed.
Do you see anything breaking the economy out of this slowing growth pattern, given the trade tensions with China and given now increased geopolitical tensions in the Middle East?
Well, I think that, you know, it's very easy for us to look at the news headlines and assume that any weakness at all. And again, the economy is sluggish, but not horrible. But it's easy for us to assume that this is just about trade tensions and things that the administration might be doing. But that's really not the case. We put in, or the U.S. government put in, tax cuts and other stimulus a couple of years ago. And over time, those roll off, or their benefits wear off. And when that happens, you lose the benefits of that stimulus. And that's basically what's happening. This is exactly what economists predicted. What's happening is that the economy would naturally slow down a year or two after the stimulus. It's exactly what is happening. So it's not a reason for people to get really concerned, but it does mean that interest rates have a downward bias, likely enough to push, kind of stay where they are or go lower. And for stocks to remain sluggish until we work through this period. So I think that things will probably be better in 2020 as this deceleration kind of finishes itself and kind of works through the system. But in the near term, it's probably a little bit more challenging.
Jonathan Golub, thank you for joining us. Jonathan Golub is Chief Equity Strategist at Credit Suisse. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street, and it is time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute, resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Now let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
State legislators in Massachusetts have approved a measure that allows public sector unions to charge non-members for grievance services. The new law pushes against a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision. The White House has issued an executive order for the Departments of Defense and Health and Human Services to create a task force to develop better flu vaccines and a bill to push back once again the expiration date of the National Flood Insurance Program has passed the House and looks likely to pass the Senate as well.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Platform, guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal development we're watching. Senators slamming U.S. antitrust chiefs for doing too little too late to rein in giant technology companies and for running overlapping investigations that could hobble enforcement. For more on this story, June Grasso speaks to Bloomberg Intelligence senior antitrust litigation analyst Jennifer Ree.
Jen, it seemed as if the senators thought there was nothing that the Justice Department and the FTC were doing right in the antitrust arena. Did they have one overriding concern?
The overriding concern was really that it does seem like resources are being vastly wasted by these what look like duplicative investigations of maybe not just Facebook, but possibly, you know, all the big tech companies, because we do understand the Department of Justice has sort of a general review of, you know, online platforms and their market power ongoing. And it takes a lot of resources, and really you have two agencies with concurrent enforcement enforcing the same laws, doing the same investigation. It just doesn't make sense.
Senator Mike Lee, who heads the Senate subcommittee, said that he's been against this for a long time. He's been critical of the fact that we have two federal agencies responsible for civil antitrust enforcement. I have to say, your two agencies have done a remarkable job in recent months of making my points. That's because they did admit that there was a sort of turf war going on over Facebook.
Right. And it's clear that there is, because, you know, we understood a while back that there was clearance, and that's the process they go through. This is the process that has worked for many, many years, mostly worked. When there is a company that needs investigation and the FTC and DOJ get together to decide who's going to do it, it's called a clearance process. So the investigation is cleared to one side or the other. They do it also, by the way, with mergers that are filed. This process seems like it hasn't worked because we heard, or it was reported, that there was clearance for Facebook and Amazon to be investigated by the FTC and Google and Apple to be investigated by the Department of Justice. But now it seems like you have the Department of Justice doing an investigation, a wide-ranging investigation of all of them, and it also looks like they may also be reviewing or scrutinizing Facebook. And what the two heads of the antitrust divisions at these agencies say is that, well, we may not be examining the same conduct. But it's still, June, that doesn't really make sense, because a monopolization investigation is all-encompassing.
And that's a Bloomberg Intelligence senior antitrust litigation analyst Jennifer Ree speaking with June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. And futures this morning extending their gains. S&P futures now up 6.5 points, Dow futures up 56, and NASDAQ futures up 22. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.77%, yield on the 2-year 1.74%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 33 cents at $58.46 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.33%, up $5 to $15.11.20 an ounce. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.